Good morning and shalom. Blessed be the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have taken an opportunity to come to the Word of God. It is deliberate that we come to you, Lord, because we do understand that in your Word, there's the fullness of joy. In your Word, there is forgiveness of sins. In your word, it is the light unto our feet. In your the word of God is a lamp that gives us light in these dark moments. We do recognize that we move in a very dark situation that we are living in those days. But your word becomes the a hammer that can continue to break those hard rocks ahead of us. Your word is a staff that can help us to walk on the path of evil, of this path of darkness. Therefore, this morning, dear Lord, we continue to look into the word of God. Help us to understand this word so that we can benefit from the word. So today, dear people, we come to the Bible in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 3, and we want to go from verse 9. Let's go from verse 9 all the way to verses 23. We want to glean and understand what the word of God says. Now, in the book of Corinthians, it's a book of correction. It's a book that Paul writes to respond over some issues that the family of or the household of Chloe wrote to Paul about it. She was a whistleblower. She talked about a few issues that were happening in this family. And one of the issues was about disunity. It was a disorder. It was affecting the family. Remember, Church of Jesus Christ, as we are going to discover even today, is compared to a family. It's compared to, and if it's a family, when there are some disorders, that family will be dysfunctional. The Church of Jesus Christ is also compared to a body. When there is a problem in the body, some ailment, that church, that body will definitely be affected. It will not be able to function as it ought to function. And so this family of our sister, we believe she's a sister here, called Chloe, wrote to Paul and said, Paul, there is a problem. Of course, Paul had finished the work here in Corinthians city, and he had gone to the next city of Ephesus. And so he wrote this letter from Ephesus, just one stage from where he was. This Paul had stayed for 1.5 years, and God had told Paul at one time, Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus had told Paul one time, that I have so many people, don't you stop speaking, continue. So God had already confirmed, I have very many people here in this city. So Paul writes to correct this. This church had also written a letter to Paul about divisions, about family, about marriage, about sex, about food, about gathering, about the second coming of Jesus, and a number of issues. And Paul was now responding to the letter we call the first letter. So you discover the first letter is not particularly the first, really the first Corinthians letter, because Paul had already written to them. And now then they responded. Now he's responding again. So we have already discovered that there are disunity, and disunity in this church is caused by not understanding the message of the cross, misunderstanding the place of the workers or the church workers, that is the fivefold ministry, misunderstanding the ministry of the Holy Spirit in that church. And because of those major root causes, there was some consequences. And the first consequence was growth. Now, when Paul compared this church now to a field, he showed that because of not being one, the growth will be affected. They will have stagnated growth. They will have what we call stunted growth. They will just be moving round and round and round. And he dealt with that so much because when they lost the grace of some leaders, you see, God has provided the leadership, and every leader come with a measure of grace. They're supposed to build, or is supposed to affect this field. Because Paul says that you are, we are God's co-workers, and you are God's field, and you are God's building. For them being a field, where one Paul was to plant, and Apollos was to water, and God was to give growth. So if Apollos is not there to water, definitely the growth will be affected because the plants were not watered. It's one thing for them to have Paul planted. If some people only come to Paul and say, we belong to Paul, and they refuse the grace of watering, don't you think that those plants are going to wither? That's what this was happening. Because of that withering now, they were losing the, you know, the current need to grow. Now, let's look at more consequences and for them to miss. And here we look at for them to miss the rewards. The final rewards. You see, they missed the grace of growth. Now they miss the grace of final rewards. And here he compares them to a building. And he says that because of God's grace to me, to Paul, I have laid a foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. Whomever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any other foundation other than the one already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of material, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, and straw. But on the day of judgment, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burnt up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of fire. I want you to realize that when Paul is giving this analogy of a building, he talks about that there's a reward that will be given towards the end of the building. Now, here he compares the work of God to a building. And he said, one leader laid the foundation. That was Paul. Paul laid the foundation. And the foundation is Jesus Christ. No other foundation can be laid apart from this foundation. That is settled. Even Paul could not lay another foundation. You see, when a house is being built, a foundation is laid, and that's settled, that is dusted. But when it comes to building, people can change and build with gold, with silver, with wood, with hay, and with straw, with grass. But then Paul says, on that day, when the Lord will come to look at the work, how people build together, how everybody contributed in the building, that's the time people are going to lose the rewards. This is what we call the final benefits. The Bible talks about crowns. Crowns are the rewards. Each and every person will have a crown. The apostles and prophets will have a crown because of how they build the church of Jesus Christ. Every member is a living stone, as Peter says. And we must also be able to make sure that we are going to get a crown because of the way we raid ourselves to be built into one house. You see, if we don't build or we refuse to build with the right material, we will affect the next generation. We become a generational thief. And so, because of the way we build, we can affect the final or the coming generations, our sons and our daughters and our granddaughters and our grandsons and our great-grandsons and great-daughters, both physical and spiritual. And so we will lose those rewards. And some of those rewards are crowns. And crowns are the crown of rejoicing, crown of glory, crown of soul winning, crown of life. All those are major crowns, about 5 or 7 crowns. And so we must build, getting to know that if we build wrongly, if we refuse, if we disintegrate, we cannot be able to build very well. And so Paul says that people will the work will be lost, or the work will be tested by fire. But look, he says that we will be saved. The builder will be saved because salvation does not depend on how we build. We get salvation by the grace of God, and that's okay. But people will escape just barely, as though through a wall of fire. So it's good for us to realize that we need to build well. And disunity affect our rewards. Then he gave another example as temple. Don't you realize that all of you together are a temple of God and great, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroy his temple. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. So now Paul now gives an example, and he says the church of Corinth is a temple. But you see, we only become a temple when all of us come together. The temple is a place where God dwells. The temple of God is where his Spirit dwells. Now, if we are destroying the temple of God by the way we divide ourselves and quarreling and fighting, we miss the grace. And God says, I'll destroy anybody who destroy my temple. Don't you think that we miss God's building, God's presence? When God says, I will destroy you, that is God is fighting us. Instead of God dwelling in us, he is fighting anybody who is destroying his temple. That would mean that God ultimately will not allow anyone to destroy his temple, because God is going to fight with that person. So we miss the blessing of God being together with us. And finally, verses 18 to 20 says, so stop deceiving yourself. If you think you are wise by the world's standard, you need to realize you need to become a fool to be truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. And the scripture says, he traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and he knows that they are worthless. So Paul here is not talking about the way that we should not have self-deception. There is some consequences of self-deception. Feeling that we are wise, we miss the wisdom of God. What a bad thing to build or to stay or to plant or to stay together without the plan of God. without the wisdom of God. And not only the, not missing the wisdom of God and having our wisdom being destroyed. Because the wisdom of man is foolishness to God. So God destroys our wisdom. That is a major consequence. When God destroys what we call our wisdom, whatever we have done, the work and we our efforts, God destroys. God is opposing it. That is a consequence that we do not want to face before God. So let's not be self-deceived. And Paul also says, don't boast about following a particular human leader. For everything belongs to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Peter or the world or life or death or the present and the future. Everything belongs to you, and you belong to Christ, and everything belongs to God. And Christ belongs to God. I think it's good for us to realize that we don't need to boast about our leaders. The leaders are gifts given to us. We evaluate all those gifts, and all those gifts belong to us. Let's take our leaders as gifts. Let's not fight our leaders. They are gifts. And Paul says, we don't boast about the gifts, but we evaluate those gifts and we'll be thankful to God. Apollos is a gift to the church. Paul is a gift to this church. Peter was a gift to this church. Even what was in the world, even in life and in death, these things belong to the church as gifts out there. In other words, we can get breath, we can get life. Even through death, we still get blessing because God is overarching everything. Father, we pray that you may help us not to boast and not to boast over the leaders that you have given us, whether particular leaders. We should not boast over them. We should not divide our church by boasting over them, but we should evaluate the work that we are doing. Help us, Lord, not to miss the blessings and the rewards, the final rewards, the crowns, the reward of God's presence, the reward of God working with that. And let's not have God to fight our wisdom, but let's take the wisdom of God to build the house of God in Jesus' name.